Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
All right, so Matt, did you hear about the bread factory in Nashville that burned down?
No.
Yeah, the business is toast now.
Dang. I should have seen that one coming.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the graveyard. Thank you for joining us tonight. My name is Adam.
And my name's Matt.
Now, pull up a tombstone or settle into your casket and get comfortable, because this is Graveyard Tales.
All right, everybody, here we are again. Matt, how you doing tonight, brother?
Not bad, man. Not bad.
Good. So before we get into it, we'll just say, go over to patreon.com/graveyardtales, sign up to become a patron. Like we always say, we have a buttload in our back catalog. And if you like hearing me and Matt, Patreon is the place to go, especially if you want to help support the show. That helps us tremendously. Your subscriptions there, you get a lot for it. I think it's a great deal. You get a lot.
Absolutely.
A lot of back catalogs. We've got a bunch of different levels that you can sign up for, but your subscription really helps keep Graveyard Tales running more than you could ever know. You can get a bonus episode a week there, and our $5 and $10 a month, they get the ad free audio and video versions of the main episodes. So if you don't want to hear the ads, sign up, become a patron. You can get it ad free over there. And it'll go right into your podcast feed. So you don't have to go, oh, I've always got to listen on the website. No, One time, go to the website, put in the RSS code, and then the ad-free stuff will go to whatever app you listen to the show on.
Yep.
And if you're a $10 a month patron, you get all of that. Plus, you get audio and video versions of our second show, SideQuest, which is just me and Matt having fun. And it's like, if you were hanging out with me and Matt having a beer, that's what you're going to get. You never know what the topic's going to be. We don't have a set genre that we do. Sometimes we play games. Sometimes we try to freak the other one out.
Yep.
So who knows what you're going to get? Sometimes it's just an episode full of me trying to make Matt laugh at stuff.
Yeah. Like tonight's side quest, it's going to be me telling a really cool story about something that happened a long time ago, but you're going to enjoy it.
And a lot of dirty jokes. We're not PG-13 on SideQuest. So just keep that in mind. Probably don't listen to all of them in front of the children. But they're fun. They're more adult themed. So if you want to help us out, but you don't want to sign up to become a patron, go check out our sponsors. Mm-hmm. We've got the links in the show notes, and you can go get you a discount on something cool that me and Matt love. We only do ads for things that we like, or we like their product or their service or whatever. Believe it or not, we've said no to some sponsors just because we don't like what they have to offer, and we don't think it's a value to you. So if you want to get you something cool or learn you something like that, go into our show notes, click on the links, and check out our sponsors. All right, Matt. So that is all of the housekeeping that I got for today. So why don't you tell us, what are we talking about tonight, brother?
All right. So we're heading down towards Texas in Adams' neck of the woods, and we're going to talk about another haunted hotel. And this one is really cool because there are so many just fascinating stories that play into the hauntings. The stories themselves are fantastic. And so adding the haunting aspect to it makes it even better.
Yep.
So we're going to talk about Hotel Galvez in Galveston, Texas. Now, it's known now as the Grand Galvez. So if you're going, what is he talking about? The Grand Galvez, originally called the Hotel Galvez, but it is one of the most haunted places on the Gulf Coast. I mean, it's been there since 1911.
Yep.
So over 100 years old, and it's just fantastic. I mean, go look at pictures of it. I mean, Adam's going to have a shot of it early. I mean, it is just fantastic. And we think you're really going to enjoy the stories and the hauntings about Hotel Galvez.
Yep. So as we always say, go check our sources down at the bottom of the show notes. You can find where we found all the information. Everything we talk about is referenced and sourced in our show notes. So go check it out if you want to keep learning, or if you just want to say, hey, were they right about that? We're right. According to our sources, we were right. And you can double check us if you
Our source
like.
May be wrong.
But that's always possible.
We try to double check it, though.
Yeah. Now, like Matt was saying, Hotel Galvez, or the Grand Galvez, opened in 1911. And it's a symbol of Galveston's rebirth and resilience after the catastrophic hurricane of 1900. That hurricane claimed thousands of lives and devastated the island's economy. So we'll talk about that in more detail here in a second. But Galveston, Texas was incorporated as a city in 1839. And by 1890, Galveston was known as one of the richest ports in the country. It became known as the Wall Street of the South. So if not to talk trash about my home state, but if you were to see Galveston now, you wouldn't think of it as the Wall Street of the South. It's not bad, but it had, I remember as a kid that you did not want to go to the beaches in Galveston.
Yeah.
Cause it was not clean. I'll tell you some stories off mic, Matt, about it, but on mic, I'll just say it has gotten a lot better since I was a kid.
And we've joked around about Galveston before.
Yeah.
But you know, truthfully, it's one of these beach towns, like there's so many of them, that has just, it's got some age on it.
Sure.
I mean, that's just there's no other way around it. I mean, it's been there for so long as a resort town, as a vacation town. You know, time marches on, and you know, sometimes it marches right over top of you.
Right.
And you can't keep up.
Right. But I mean, it's a great town. It's a great town in Texas. It is not the Wall Street of the South anymore, but it's coming back. I have to say it's coming back.
Yeah. There's some rebirth going on.
But going from one of the richest ports in the country, the Wall Street of the South, then in 1900, the great storm hit. Now, it began on September 8th and it devastated Galveston. So the Great Storm is known as the deadliest natural disaster in U.S. history. residents of Galveston had very little warning of the storm. And think about it. It's 1900. They don't have the storm warnings and technology that we have now.
Right.
So they don't have phones that they're going to get a beep, 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 beep thing on to tell you, hey, there's a hurricane headed your way. So they had very, very little warning of this storm. And they got hit by a Category 4 hurricane with winds between 120 and 145 miles per hour.
Yeah.
It was bad. The hurricane produced a storm surge up to 15 to 16 feet high, and it inundated most of Galveston Island and most of the city of Galveston itself. There were entire blocks of the city that were swept away. Two-thirds of the city was destroyed.
Yeah.
Roughly 6,000 to 8,000 people in Galveston died because of the storm.
Yeah. And just to give you some perspective, you think about 1900 and how people prepared, like Adam said, the storm surge for Katrina was not even 12 feet.
Yep.
And, you can imagine the buildings, the structures and everything. They weren't ready for something like that at all.
Right.
So, this just wiped it out.
This was still in the time where somebody's errant ember from cooking could burn down a whole block.
Yeah, right.
So they were not prepared. Structurally sound buildings were not a thing. But the total death toll, including the mainland, reached as high as 12,000 people. So the storm demolished over 3,600 buildings, including homes, businesses, churches, and it left nearly 10,000 people homeless. Property losses were estimated at $28 to $30 million.
Good night.
That's staggering for that time frame.
Yeah. I mean, that is an insurmountable total.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
For that time period.
The horrors faced by survivors included immediate disposal of thousands of bodies. Attempts at burial at sea failed because the corpses just washed back ashore. So this led to mass cremations on city pyres. The loss of life affected nearly every family on the island, and the devastation ended Galveston's golden age as a major southern port, with many investors and businesses turning their focus to Houston instead of Galveston.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't go too far, but Houston didn't get rocked like Galveston did. So they had to move somewhere, and they moved over to Houston and just left Galveston. So that's even less money now in the city to help rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
Massive relief efforts poured in, including donations from cities and individuals as far away as Europe and South Africa. The Red Cross, led by Clara Barton at the time, set up orphanages and helped coordinate rebuilding efforts. Now, a key change was the decision to raise the elevation of the island and construct a 17-foot-high, 10-mile-long seawall. And that seawall still stands today as protection for Galveston. Now, the Hotel Galvez, the Grand Galvez, it was conceived of and developed by prominent Galveston businessmen determined to restore the city's status as a premier tourist destination. So they wanted to bring tourism back to Galveston. An organizational meeting in 1910 raised necessary capital, and the design commission selected Moran, Russell, and Crowell of St. Louis for its architectural plans. Now, that architectural firm, Moran, Russell, and Crowell of St. Louis, designed Hotel Galvez in the Mission Revival and Spanish Revival styles. So that was notable for the ornate stucco, arches, red tiled roofs. You'd know it if you saw it.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's
I always think it's so cool looking.
Very cool look. The original color of the hotel was pink, and it was created by mixing crushed pink granite into the exterior stucco. So it stuck out. Talk about stucco. It was stuccoing out being a pink hotel. And the hotel featured an 8-story central section with 2 6-story wings, and it offered 275 guest rooms. It was the first, quote, fireproof hotel on the Texas Gulf Coast, with a construction budget totaling $750,000 to $1 million. That's over $30 million today for the construction budget of this hotel. Now, Hotel Galvez officially opened on June 10th, 1911, with rooms priced at $2 a night, Matt.
Man, that's amazing.
I would love that. Can we go back? Well, you can still probably get hotels for $2 a night, but you don't want to stay at hotels.
I don't know that there's anywhere that you could do that.
Well, that's true. Maybe $2 an hour, but like we said before, if you rent a hotel by the hour, don't stay at that hotel. That's just not a place you want to stay.
I think there's some laws against that now.
Yeah, there might be, depending on where you go.
There are here. I'll say that.
Dickerson Pike, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it quickly became famous as the Queen of the Gulf, and it hosted presidents, celebrities, and major social events. Its construction was deliberately timed. I see your little friend there on your mic. the construction of this hotel was timed so that it would coincide with the completion of the Galveston Seawall, which was a major upgrade in the infrastructure of the city to protect against future storms. So the Hotel Galvez's reputation as a destination for celebrities, politicians, and influential guests, it's lasted for over a century, you know, reflected in elegant suites and preserved in its Hall of History exhibit, which is actually open to the public. So if you want to go see the history, you can. So who actually has stayed at the Hotel Galvez? Let's look at some of those people. Now, Franklin D. Roosevelt made the hotel his official summer White House while he was fishing offshore on his yacht, the USS Potomac.
How cool is that?
That would be cool. You know, during the summer, Roosevelt is down here fishing, and if you stay at the Galvez, you're going to run into him because he's living here. Dwight D. Eisenhower stayed at the hotel long before becoming president. They said there's accounts of staff serving him personally as a guest. And Lyndon B. Johnson is another presidential guest, and he spent time at Galvez, highlighting its political allure. Now, Hollywood legends such as Jimmy Stewart, Frank Sinatra, and Jerry Lewis were regulars at the Galvez, especially when they were performing across the street at the iconic Bolognese Room nightclub. Sammy Davis Jr. and Howard Hughes are also on the registry of the hotel. So they say having these people there kind of furthered the image of the playground of the Southwest for wealthy people. General Douglas MacArthur is documented as one of the military figures that stayed there, and beauty pageant contestants, newsmen, gamblers, military heroes. They've all spent time at the Galvez, which kind of helps lend some credibility to its legacy. But in 1915, there was another fierce hurricane that struck Galveston. But the newly built seawall, you know, helped spare the Hotel Galvez from major damages. And during that storm, hotel guests reportedly held a, quote, hurricane party, which if you're in the Gulf anywhere or have been in the Gulf or Texas, Louisiana, something like that, you'll know what a hurricane party is. And they were drinking champagne and dancing through the night. And it was one of the first examples of a hurricane party.
Huh.
Which is interesting. Do you know a hurricane party, Matt?
Well, yeah. I have not been a part of one. I have been of a hurricane evacuation, but not a hurricane party. And I don't recall seeing coming across anybody that was looked like they were preparing for a hurricane party the time that it happened to me. So
yeah,
I was like, everybody was kind of like, hunker down or get out.
I think most of the time now, most people don't have hurricane parties, but there still are.
Yeah,
some
you still hear stuff
wild
about
people.
It. Yeah,
that it's the same people that you see the video of this guy standing out in the road as the hurricane comes through, holding the American flag as the wind's blowing and he's barely standing up and he's going, woo! Mm-hmm. Those are the people that have hurricane parties.
Yeah, yeah.
My butt would be on the first road out of there. I'd be like, sorry, hurricane party yourself. I'm getting out of here. I can't do it. All right, Matt, so let's take a second and talk about one of tonight's sponsors, Masterclass. Now, here's the thing. If you wait till the last minute to buy people gifts for Christmas, it's hard to get something at your house on time. But a great way to do it, if you're a last-minute shopper especially, is get them Masterclass, because there's no shipping involved. Just sign them up, get them a Masterclass subscription, and they're going to love it because they will learn something every day with the Masterclasses that are on there. And I'll tell you what, I like the listen as you go kind of thing. You can put it on audio mode and listen in the truck as you're driving places. So I've started multiple classes at once. That's just how I am. I gotta, you know, bounce back and forth. But think like an FBI profiler with John Douglas, which is amazing. The Art of Magic with Penn and Teller. And I actually learned a card trick on there that I baffled Michael with and then had to teach Michael. And then brain health with different leading experts. Because as we've said before, me, Ashley, Matt, and Amanda are all into optimizing our health. And I'm a big fan of brain health, especially with what we do. My brain has to fire on all cylinders. So that's a great class to take.
Yeah, and with Masterclass, you learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. And you can listen to Masterclass without the video. So you can turn your commute or your workout into your classroom. With audio mode, you can listen to Masterclass lessons anytime, anywhere, which is incredibly cool. You can learn wherever you are, on your phone, on your laptop, even on your TV. Masterclass literally goes where you go. And there's no risk. Every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee.
But you're not going to want to get your money back. You're going to enjoy it.
You're going to love it. So if you want to enjoy Masterclass and learn something new to become a better version of yourself, just like Adam and I do, head over to masterclass.com/graveyard for the current offer. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off.
That's right. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/graveyard, G-R-A-V-E-Y-A-R-D, masterclass.com/graveyard. Now, the hotel played a vital role in World War II. When it was commandeered by the U.S. Coast Guard from 1942 to 1944, and it served as their wartime headquarters. The rooms were converted into barracks and offices, and drill practices and boxing matches were actually held on the grounds.
And not to go off on a tangent, but you mentioned this earlier. Have you seen the USS Potomac? When you mentioned that and it said it was his presidential yacht, I looked it up. It looks like a damn battleship. And this is the presidential guy. He's fishing off of this thing.
Let me just say, Matt, if I was the president and I was going out on the water, I would take a battleship.
It literally looks like a miniature battleship without the guns.
Yeah.
But then it has like elements of kind of like an old timey cruise ship. You know? Mm-hmm. I was like, can you imagine coming up on this and seeing the president of the United States fishing off of it?
Yeah. FDR's got a reel on the back and he's waving at you.
It is not a fishing boat. It doesn't look like a fishing boat at all.
But like I said, dude, if I was commander in chief of the military, that's what I would fish off of.
Just what's the most presidential thing you can do? Go fishing off a battleship. That's
Yeah, exactly. Just add some extra line to the reel so I can reach the water from this battleship. But now, the hotel was closely connected to Galveston's mid-20th century gambling heyday because of its proximity to the famous Bolognese Room nightclub. And so it attracted high rollers, entertainers, and celebrities that were over there at the nightclub to come over and stay at the Galvez. The Bolognese Room is just across the seawall, and it was notorious for illegal gambling, and it's funny because the illegal gambling and everything, they say that the Hotel Galvez is the perfect lodging for the glitterati of the era that would be involved in that. So just kind of think of the people during that time that would be involved in illegal gambling, and then they're staying at the Galvez.
Mm-hmm.
So just to kind of paint a picture there. Now, the pageant of pulchritude, I don't know how you exactly pronounce that, but it was
you did a good job.
Thank you. It was an early international beauty contest, and it was the precursor to Miss Universe, and it was hosted nearby starting in 1920, so it brought worldwide attention and visitors to the hotel and Galveston Island. You can just imagine the people that would come stay for the early editions of Miss Universe.
Hey, and just for those of you that like word knowledge, pulchritude, it means beauty. So it literally was a beauty pageant. And they use the term pulchritude. I have never heard that word in my life.
Me either. Until this, I thought it was like somebody's name or something, yeah, you know, the pageant like of pulchritude.
A region, you know, or something. I've never heard that before.
No, so this is the pageant of beauty, beauty pageant.
That's why they went with pulchritude.
Right.
So it wasn't redundant. Or as redundant.
As redundant. They're like, these ding-dongs from Texas won't know what pulchritude is. And we still don't. But that's another. Because I'm a ding-dong from Texas. So now, throughout history, the hotel has witnessed the evolving social fabric of Galveston. This says from Victorian high society balls, wartime military drills, to the jazz-fueled festivities of the mid-1900s, and stories of spirited parties, ghostly encounters, and dramatic rescues have all been part of the hotel's colorful folklore from the very beginning.
And all of this pageantry and all of the famous people and everything, it just builds the lore of the hotel. But as I said at the beginning, there are some pretty fascinating stories that occurred either at the hotel or in that area that lead to the paranormal activity that guests and staff routinely report. And like we said, this is considered to be the most haunted place on the Gulf Coast. And when you consider the amount of activity that people tend to experience when they visit, I'd say I probably agree. Now, as far as spirits, some spirits will appear to guests quite regularly so well that they can describe their appearance in detail. Now, one of these spirits happens to be a little girl that they describe as about 3 feet tall. Now, that just sounds funny to me to say that. I mean, most little girls are about 3 feet tall. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
But
I think
she
we
plays,
could picture that.
She plays on the outside of the spa. And they got such good descriptions. They say she has blonde pigtails tied with ribbon, and she is wearing a white dress with little black Mary Jane shoes, which was a popular style in the early 20th century, and it keeps coming back and coming back and coming back. Mm-hmm. She has been heard to whisper ice cream into the ears of passerbys. This can be explained by the fact that the hotel soda fountain and ice cream parlor used to be where the spa is located. So it was kind of like, it was a candy store, essentially.
Now she's hanging out there mad because somebody's getting a face mask done when she should be getting ice cream.
Right. But now they think that this spirit, this little girl, might be one of the ones responsible for the child size handprints that appear along the bottom of the glass on the spa door.
That's creepy.
So employees confirm that although they may wipe them off multiple times a day, the little handprints always reappear. So can you imagine a soda fountain, you know, a candy store, or, you know, ice cream parlor, and little kids walking up to the glass and looking in with their little hands right on the glass? This is what it looks like.
Jeez.
And that, there are numerous guests that have reported seeing the little handprints. When you look at reviews from, you know, TripAdvisor and things like that, I mean, it is pretty common. When people visit the spa, they say they saw the handprints.
That's now, crazy.
I know.
And it's crazy that she's so, like, solid that they can get a good description of her.
So, picture this. You see what could be considered a full-bodied apparition or pretty close. Now, not only are you witnessing an apparition, it is so clear and so solid that you can see details like blonde hair, ribbons, the type of footwear that she's got on.
I was going to say, you can tell they're Mary Jane shoes and not just shoes.
Exactly. Now, there is a piece of decor at the Grand Galvez that has kept an eye on the occurrences of the hotel since it opened in 1911.
I don't like the way you stated that.
The portrait of the hotel's namesake, Bernardo de Galvez, hangs in the second floor landing facing the hotel's main lobby. Legend has it that the extremely white eyes of the painting will follow guests as they walk by. Now, there's an optical illusion of that.
Yep.
So I can buy that people experience that, how real it is. But the fact that this painting has these crazy looking white eyes, is just, it's creepy looking.
That's the creepy part, is the eyes are that white, but I want it to be like the movies from the comedies from back in the day where you actually see
out
the eyeballs coming through and moving and.
There was a movie called The Private Eyes that had Don Knotts and Tim Conway in it. I think it may have been a Disney movie or something. I don't know. But that's a recurrent theme in there. Mm-hmm. They're like in this mansion and the little eyes will come out of the portrait and then a real human eyes will be right in
there. Yeah.
yep. watching what's going on. But because of the portrait's reputation, visitors will try to take a photograph of it. But when they look at their picture, they end up with a skull-shaped glare where the face should be in the photo.
That's weird.
Yeah. And hotel staff claims that you can avoid this by asking the portrait's permission before you take your photo.
This is like a Annabelle thing.
Yeah, or Robert the Doll.
Robert the Doll, yeah.
That, always got to ask permission to take a photo. Yeah, the skull-shaped glare. And this is another one that, you know,
I would love that.
Yeah.
I would love that.
That'd be awesome. Now, the most well-known spirit that haunts Hotel Galvez is Audra. Audra was a 25-year-old bride-to-be in the mid-1950s. She was young, optimistic, beautiful. You know, that starry-eyed. She was that, you know, where's my fiancé? My fiancé is coming to meet me. Okay. Yep. So
have you met my fiancé?
Mm-hmm. Now, Audra's husband was a mariner who would sail in and out of the port of Galveston, and he would leave Audra alone on occasion. So during one of his offshore excursions, Audra would rent room 501 at the Hotel Galvez. Now, room 501 in Hotel Galvez was particularly close to the elevator. Now, Audra would use that elevator to access a ladder. And every day, she would walk down the hall of the fifth floor, take the elevator to the eighth floor, and then climb this little narrow ladder that led to one of the four turrets on top of the hotel. Now, sitting inside the shelter of that hexagonal turret, she would watch through an opening for his ship to return.
Okay.
this was every day while he was gone, she would do this. Now, after a huge storm, Audra was informed that her fiancé's ship had capsized and that there were no survivors.
Oh, geez.
Now, she kept a vigil and would go back to the turret and watch for him day after day. But after a few days, she realized he's not coming back and she wasn't going to see him again. And she was just inconsolable and overcome with grief. So she hung herself in the west turret of the hotel. Now, if that is not a tragic enough story for you, her groom-to-be arrived at Galveston a few days later.
He had
actually survived the shipwreck and was eager to find his bride. But of course, when he got there, he learned that she had died by hanging and had just been buried.
Yeah.
Man. I mean, there are Greek tragedies that aren't this bad.
Yeah, that's like a Romeo and Juliet tragedy.
Exactly. Now, visitors claim that Audra frequents the fifth floor, though her most popular place of residence is that matrimonial room, that room 501. And to this day, there are many paranormal events that happen in room 501 that are reported by guests, staff, and even news and film crews that have come in because of these stories. Some claim that they feel the sudden chill of, like, her spirit, but others will hear this unexplained sound of doors slamming. Televisions will turn on and off without explanation. Lights will flicker and come on and off. A housekeeper once said that she saw a strange light coming from the vacant room. the room telephone has been known to ring repeatedly when the switchboard reports that there were no calls received, and guests have even felt the pressure of something invisible sitting next to them on the bed. So look, you stay in room 501, there's a really good chance that you're going to feel something.
Sounds that way.
Attendants of the front desk say that they have a particularly difficult time making electronic keys for the room. They claim that there is an unseen force that interferes with the equipment, making the cards either unreliable or completely unusable. Okay, so Adam, the other day, we're at the store, and Madison and Piper and Amanda all managed to buy matching pajamas. And so their goal during this trip was to find matching pajamas for Brooks and me. And I said, one, no way.
Right.
And I said, two, we are not going to find matching anything here at this regular box retail outlet.
Yeah.
I said, we are going to have to go to MeUndies.
Oh, yeah.
And the holidays are about the only time of year that adults can get away wearing matching anything.
True.
And so if I'm going to match, I'm going to wear something that's cool and something that's comfortable. And MeUndies has taken that to the next level with their Match Me collection. I mean, if you haven't started your gift list, you've still got plenty of time to get everyone on that list MeUndies, whether it's matching undies with your partner, coordinating PJs for a family photo, or just getting festive with your friend group, which is a little weird, but hey, you do you with your underwear and your BFFs. I don't know.
Exactly.
MeUndies makes it fun, easy, and ridiculously cozy.
It's true. And Ashley just went on MeUndies and bought all three of us matching Christmas underwear. So I know on Christmas exactly what I'm going to be wearing underneath everything else. And Ashley and I already have matching loungewear. I'm wearing the pants currently right now because they're so comfortable and they make recording so much easier. But MeUndies is the go-to for unbelievably soft underwear and loungewear made from ultramodal. That's basically just fancy speak for cloud-level comfort. And like Matt said, with matching sets and fun festive prints, you'll be the most coordinated couple or family on the couch. We're talking over 30 million pairs sold. That's 90,000 five-star reviews and a problem-free philosophy. So that means if you don't love your first pair, guess what? It's on MeUndies. Now, what other place are you going to find that deal at?
Nowhere.
You're not. So if you want to knock out all your holiday gifting needs today, go to MeUndies. Get exclusive holiday deals up to 50% off by going to MeUndies.com/graveyard and enter our promo code GRAVEYARD. That's GRAVEYARD.
Yeah, knock out all your holiday gifting needs today with MeUndies. Get exclusive holiday deals up to 50% off. Go to MeUndies.com/graveyard. Said the key will sometimes not work on one occasion. The keys sometimes will not work. And on one occasion, a guest reported it to the desk clerk. The key was scanned for the room code and the display read expired 1955.
That's wild.
Yeah. I want that story to be true so bad. That is so cool.
That would be great if that was true story.
It really sounds just too perfect, but man, it's awesome.
I think it's time that you put just a regular lock on that.
That's right. Yeah. Just a regular key. Turn the
why is this the only room that has a regular key? Well, let me tell you.
Yeah, let's explain it. because we can't get these stupid electronic key cards to work. Now, when Audra does leave room 501, she roams the west turret. And visitors will occasionally see light there, but there's no candle or flashlight or anything else around.
Hmm.
There are reports of a woman walking the halls, and people have heard whimpering sobs near the elevator. Remember, the elevator was what Audra would take every day to get to the ladder up into the turret.
Yeah.
Now, these reports will frequently occur when the hotel is undergoing renovations. The turrets remain unlit. Although the hotel staff once investigated the claim, there is no electrical source for the light that people will see up there.
Hmm. That's interesting.
No candle, no flashlight, there's no outlet, so there's nothing up there that would light up.
Yeah, it should not be lit up.
Yeah. Jackie Hassan, who was the senior concierge of the Hotel Galvez, alleges that her spirit is locked inside that hotel because she never crossed over waiting for her fiance.
Hmm. It makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it makes perfect sense. Now, another one of the regular Hotel Galvez spirits is that of Catherine, Sister Catherine.
Mm.
Sister Catherine belonged to the Sisters of Charity, which at the time oversaw the St. Mary's Orphans Asylum. Man, why asylum? They loved that word.
I know.
Like it just, nowadays, I guess now it just has such a negative connotation to it.
Yeah. Nowadays it sounds so harsh and everything, but you know, back then it probably didn't carry the same weight.
Obviously not, because they used it all the time.
right.
But when the hurricane of 1900 devastated the island of Galveston, it also destroyed St. Mary's Orphans Asylum. Now, in an attempt to save as many children as possible, the sisters cut cloth into makeshift rope, which they then tied around the children and then to themselves. So they would tie these ropes to the wrists of the sisters, who hoped to be able to withstand the storm's winds. Now, some believe that these ropes were actually counterproductive and actually caused, or at least contributed to, the deaths of some of the children.
Oh, geez.
90 children and 10 nuns perished in the hurricane.
Dang.
The body of Sister Catherine and, you know, her orphans were still tied together, and their bodies were found on the shore in front of where the hotel now stands. But like with many storm victims, they were just buried where they were found.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads some to suspect that the Hotel Galvez stands on top of the mass grave of these orphans.
Jeez.
So it's no surprise that visitors will claim to see, you know, child ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Witnesses and guests at the hotel claim to see the figure of a nun in a long dark habit pacing the southern lawn of the hotel and looking out to sea whenever a major storm approaches.
Hmm.
In September of 2009, Discovery Channel's Ghost Lab featured the Hotel Galvez while investigating a correlation between weather and the paranormal, which I can see if you consider the amount of electricity
right.
that is generated in the air when a major storm is coming through. I mean, you've seen those photos of people with their hair standing on end and they're like, hey, guess what? You're about to get struck by lightning.
Yep. Yep.
You know, so there's a lot of electricity, and with that electricity, you know, there's enough energy that a spirit could manifest.
Yeah, there's a lot of theories I've heard about if you're at a haunted location during an electrical storm or just a regular thunderstorm, you're going to get more activity happening due to that.
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, me too.
But I like this story about Sister Catherine. It reminds me of the Gray Man in South Carolina. You know, the story is, if you see the Gray Man when there's a hurricane coming, you know, you'll see him, and he kind of points out to sea.
Yep.
That's an indicator that the hurricane is going to hit right there. Mm-hmm. And the legend says you're supposed to tell everybody that you can, you know, that the hurricane is going to hit right there, and to take cover or evacuate or whatever. Yeah. And your house will be spared. I didn't see anything attached to Sister Catherine like this, like the Gray Man, but still, that if there's a storm a brewing, you might catch Sister Catherine out there pacing on the lawn. But, you know, pretty, you know, like I said, pretty cool little stories. That is a horrible, story about all these children that died.
Yeah.
But if you can, I mean, I didn't realize, I guess I'd never come across anything where they said that they would routinely bury storm victims where they were. You had mentioned in talking about the hurricane, the number of bodies that, you know, they had mm-hmm. to figure out what to do with. Well, apparently they just buried them where they found them.
Yeah, they tried the burial at sea, it said, but they would wash back ashore.
Yeah.
So then they had to just bury them in a mass grave type thing.
You know, so if in 1900, you know, they bury 90 children and, you know, 10 nuns, and then, you know, 11 years later, they're building a hotel in that same spot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know that there's anything to suspect. I mean, yeah, you're building a hotel on top of the graves of these children. I didn't see anything where these bodies were removed or, you know, interred elsewhere.
Yeah.
At some point. So, yeah, I mean, a hotel on top of a grave site. Sure, this is, you want to haunt a hotel, this is how you get it.
right.
Now, one of these little ghostly children appears near the hotel lobby and around the gift shop and at the staircase. And this little girl is often seen bouncing a ball. The guests report that she wears 19th century clothing, again, with seeing the apparition and be able to determine what kind of clothes they're wearing. She also bounces this ball that makes no sound.
That would be creepier than hearing a thunk.
Right. You know,
I don't know exactly why, but to me that says creepier.
Yeah. But they say that even construction workers have claimed to see the spirit of this little girl, and they didn't know that she was a ghost. And of course, really? They notified the front desk that there was a little girl playing near the construction area.
Mm-hmm.
Guests will also hear phantom children running and laughing throughout the hotel, playing the piano in the lobby, or just running and playing in the halls. It says you can hear the sound of their laughter. Although, if you try to find the source, it's like, they're invisible. You don't see them, but you can obviously follow the sound of the playing and the laughter and everything.
Hmm.
Now, blogger Mary I'm gonna mess up her name. Mary Duplessis. She recounts her experience with ghost children in her ghost blog. And Mary says that during one of her visits, She felt the undeniable presence of a small child climbing onto her bed and snuggling up to her back.
Nope. Nope.
Shortly, yeah, shortly after that, she felt another one join the first one.
Golly.
It gets better. After politely asking her visitors to leave so that she could sleep, she says she felt the sensation of the spirits moving away and climbing down off the bed, followed by the sound of them leaving through the bathroom and tapping on the bathtub.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool with that.
She goes on. Now, she, Mary Duplessis has like at least three or four really, you know, interesting experiences at Hotel
creepy,
Galvez.
Creepy, you mean.
Yeah. This one was by far the craziest one. But she said that there was a story that they liked to turn the faucet on. And so she had gone to check, and when she turned on the light, it had a dimmer switch, and the dimmer switch was turned all the way down. So when she flipped the switch, the light didn't come on, which kind of shocked her at first. And I was like, yeah, that would shock me too. You know, you expect the light to come on and it doesn't. And you realize this physical dimmer switch is slid all the way down. You're like, I didn't do this.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of guests have experienced things at the Hotel Galvez. And this is one of these things where it doesn't seem like anything is all that malevolent. You know, I didn't find any stories where anyone was completely terrified or running down in the middle of the night asking for another room or leaving their hotel or anything like that. But so many people have had different experiences, and so many have had multiple experiences on multiple visits. Like you go and you have a neat little experience, you know, the lights flicker in your room, or you hear somebody laugh, or you feel a ghost kid snuggle up to you in bed. And then maybe a year later you go back and you get something different. But what are the chances that, you know, you visit this hotel? It feels like a one in a million shot to have an experience like that, and then to go back and have it again or something different. It's like, man,
I can't get over and deal with the children snuggling up.
I knew you'd love that.
That is going to haunt me for several nights.
Oh, man. Thinking about that. Yeah. I mean, you know, but I mean, so many guests report sensations of being touched, seeing these apparitions, you know, hearing, you know, the laughter. There's just so many different ones. And this place is so cool. This, you know, this will make me want to go back to Galveston. I promise.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I was like, yeah, I want to go stay at this place. You know, there's nothing just extremely scary, but kind of, you know, kind of cool. So, and like I said, when you look at photos of the hotel, man, it's pretty freaking awesome. You know, so if you want to stay somewhere cool, kind of see how Galveston is, you know, becoming more of what it used to be, and you know, maybe stay at a haunted hotel, the Grand Galvez is definitely a place to check out. So
yeah, I recommend it.
Yeah,
I'll just say that I definitely recommend it.
Yeah, so let us know what you think. Is the Hotel Galvez, is Grand Galvez, is it, you know, haunted is all get out, or are these just stories that have been drummed up to get business or to garner some interest in people coming back to Galveston? let us know. And if you've ever stayed at the Grand Galvez, if you've had an experience, the best place to tell Adam and I about that is in our Facebook group. Again, it's called The Graveyard. We have so many people in there sharing these type stories. We just want to hear them. So if you've got one about Grand Galvez or anything else, just jump in there and share it with the rest of the graveyard. Please don't forget to check out our website. It's graveyardpodcast.com. And there you can find links to purchase Graveyard Tales merchandise. And hey, Christmas is coming. If you've got a graveyard member on your list, you know, get in there, grab them a cool travel coffee mug or a t-shirt or a poster.
There's a bunch of new stuff.
Yeah.
You can get hats, you can get pins, pin with any of the logos that we've got on the site. You can get a pin, you can get a hat, you can get shorts.
Yeah. So please go check it out. What Adam and I do not get rich off of you buying this stuff.
No,
we do not. In fact, I'm not even sure we get anything out of it other than the fact that you're sharing the show. And, you know, maybe somebody says, hey, what's that on your shorts? What's Graveyard Tales? And we sincerely appreciate that. So, but on our website is also where you can become a patron. And thank you to everybody who supports the efforts that Adam and I put forth. We can't thank you guys enough. You know, our listeners are the best, you know, and they keep Graveyard Tales going, and we sincerely appreciate it. So until next time, we'll save you a seat in the graveyard.
See you soon.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.